Great song. Good morning, everyone. Glad you're here. This is part two. So if you missed part one, get the tape. Do you know your memory verse? You're going to need it this morning. Remember what it said? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Him? Oh, cheaters. Because part of what I'll be doing is somewhat like we did last week, and that is there's going to be a little response time in some areas when we ask certain questions. But first, let's talk about last week for just a moment. And that was that if God be for us, who can be against us, was our memory verse. And we went through the earlier part of chapter 8 of the book of Romans. And we found that God listed some things for us that are just wonderful, wonderful blessings to know that how God is watching over us, caring for us, and blessing us in so many ways. And it started right out by saying, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I mean, if that isn't something you want to put up on the wall and look at every day to recognize the freedom that you have in Christ Jesus. And from Psalms 103, verse 12, we read that as far as the east is from the west, there goes our sins. And so we called it forgiveness without boundaries. God's forgiveness just goes and goes. And we talked about the glory that God has for us at being sons of God. And it's a glory that's beyond our imagination. It's a glory that we can't even comprehend. We just know that God has it for us. And we're looking forward to that. And so as children of God, we have an inheritance for which we have a down payment already. And that's the Holy Spirit, by the way. God's Holy Spirit is his down payment that you have a deed in heaven, and it's already waiting for you, and it's a glory of glories. We talked about the prayers, and oftentimes we pray. We don't know why what we're praying for because we don't know what the future holds. We don't even know what's best for us, but we know that we need to seek God. We've got something we want to put out to him. Something's heavy on our hearts, something that's a friend of ours or a family member or even ourselves, and we're looking for God's help and God's involvement, but sometimes words aren't even adequate. And so he says the Spirit comes alongside our spirit, and he understands us deep, deep, deep within. And he's able to say the things that words cannot say. And therein he helps us, he intercedes for us as we pray to God. What a blessing. That access was given to us by Christ Jesus on his death. Without Christ Jesus, there would have not been an access to heaven like there is in his name. And that's why we pray in his name, because it was that access was purchased on the cross. And if you remember, one of the things that happened when he was on the cross is that at the temple, the veil rent from top to bottom. That which was secluded, that which you could not see, the place you could not go, was now open. And we as children of God, we are told to come boldly that we might receive grace and mercy from God. Wonderful, wonderful blessings. Goodness, God is good. We went to Nebraska Sunday. God is good. It's roughly 200 miles up, 200 miles back. And one of the things we pray for before we leave is that God will give us a good day, and we'll have a safe trip, and that our car will run well. And so we went up there, and we had a blessed time with the family for lunch, and then drove home. Pulled in the driveway, and the serpentine belt on my engine broke. You know, that's the end of that. You ever try to steer the car without the serpentine belt around the pulley? Well, it's quite a tug. In fact, my neighbor had to take my van down below because I watched him wrestle the steering wheel trying to turn the wheels. Where else could we have been when that broke? Middle of nowhere. There's a lot of middle of nowheres between here and where we go in Nebraska. Out north of Fort Morgan there's a lot of nowhere. And even cell phone coverage is kind of iffy. And who knows, we would have been sitting up there along the highway, except for one thing: God is good. So, of the stories that can be told, you have your own story. If you haven't recognized God's goodness in your life, you just need to take a moment and think about it. He's in the air you breathe. He's in the sunrise that you watch, the sunset in the evening, the water you drink, the mountains you enjoy. He's all around you, before and after, and his goodness is what leads us to repentance. Goodness of God will lead you to tears. The fear of God, yes, he can strike lightning and he can put fear. That's right. But what really will break your heart is his goodness. Oh, well, that was free. Anyway, the last one, power beyond obstacles. That's the one we didn't get to, so let's deal with that quickly, and then we can get on to the real sermon, which is for this week. So we're still dealing with last week, but stay with me. Power beyond obstacles. He says in Romans 8 and verse 35. Did I get that right? No, Romans 8, 31. Romans 8, 31, yeah. What then shall we say in response to this? There we go. If for us. That's right. I know some of you were here last week. If God is for us, what happens when God is for us? Well, there's a power here that is beyond belief. The workings of the mighty God on behalf of his children cannot be overstated in any way. I read to you something from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order. Now, what is he saying there? Open your eyes so you can see. Now, open your eyes that we can see. We can see. But do we really see? Can we really see and understand? Can we really see and perceive all that God is and what he's doing for us? May your eyes be opened. And sometimes it's a journey as a Christian in our Christian life. We have certain points in time where all of a sudden a light bulb goes on and we understand something we didn't appreciate before. Suddenly there's something there, say, Why that's amazing. That's wonderful. And we draw that in and we grow our faith on that because the eyes have been enlightened. So he says, I hope that your eyes will be enlightened so that you may know the hope for which he has called you. What is this hope? The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints and his incomparably great power for us who believe. What kind of power? That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Where is this seat? Where is this place? It's far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Did we ever put that up there? We didn't get that up there. Well, since we didn't, I'll add verse 6 of the next chapter. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We've been raised to be seated with him who sits high above all power and dominion and title. Does this put us in a place of power? Actually, it does. It means that the one who has always been beating us up, the one who has had control of our life, the one who has disarranged everything and every hope and brought it all to naught, the workings of darkness, Satan himself, has had his way with us, but we were translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light. We were taken from down there and seated up here, and God put in our hand the ball bat of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that the devil, if we resist him, he will what? Thank you. You do read the book of James, don't you? Yes. He didn't flee before. Why? Because we weren't in that position. We're in the strong position. We have the power behind us. And how do I know all of this is true? What brings us all together to say, wow, forgiveness, glory, prayers, goodness, power. What makes a package out of that and says, here's the guarantee. What's the absolute guarantee? Here it is. He tells you that. Oh, I got to go back to Romans, don't I? Here it is. Romans. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? There's what's the nail. There's what puts it all together. If God was willing to give his own son to bridge the gap to get to us, that we might be brought to him to be his children, don't you think it's reasonable that all these other things he would do for you as a child of God to bring it to its fruition? Absolutely. And what makes it all true? Because he gave his son. What greater sacrifice is there than that? Now we're ready for the sermon. You thought you were going home early, didn't you? Scott said I had 10 minutes. He just didn't say which 10. Oh, I love this part. This is the rest of chapter 8. And here's the questions. The first one is part of the memory verse. If God be for us, which we just talked about, who can be against us? There's the question. Who can be against us? You know, as soon as I think of an obstacle, as soon as I think of someone against us, the first thought that came to my mind, I don't know about you, I thought of Goliath and poor David. How many Goliaths you got in your life? What is your Goliath? Do you have a great big obstacle and a very little God? That's what the Israelites had. They saw in Goliath a great big obstacle, and they had a very little God. And David come along and said, wait a minute, you got this all wrong. He's defied the living God. And I'm going to go out and kill him. I'm going to go out and cut his head off. He might think he's big, and he might think he's taking on a child, a young man. He has all that armament. I have nothing. But I have God. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so from that, my mind leaped to one of my favorite passages in 2 Kings 6 that has to do with Elisha. And Elisha had been giving trouble to the king of Aram. And so the king sent his armies down there to find him because he knew he was in Dothan. And they surrounded the city, and there was the armies, and there was the chariots. And the servant goes out and says, oh, wow, Elisha, what are we going to do? And what is Elisha's response? Open his eyes, Lord. Isn't that what we read in Ephesians? Open his eyes, Lord, and let him see that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And he opened his eyes and he saw in the hills all around the great chariots and armies of God. The song. The armies of God. Well, that changes everything, doesn't it? It depends what you see. It depends how strong your faith is. It depends who you're trusting in. And if you're trusting in self, yes, you got a problem. You're surrounded by an army. You've got a problem. You got a Goliath in your life. But when you realize that God is so much bigger, has so many more resources, and that all these blessings we just talked about are all for you and on your side, and God is with you, who can be against you? And then I come to Chronicles. And this is 2 Chronicles 32. Just a moment. Sennacherib. Sennacherib is the king of Assyria. Sennacherib is threatening Jerusalem. Hezekiah is the king. Hezekiah is a faithful king. And so he's heard that the king of Assyria is coming. He starts making preparations. And then he comes out with these words to his people. Be strong and courageous, verse 7. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from Hezekiah the king and what he said. Aren't those great words? And you know, Sennacherib goes on and he starts making all kinds of threats. He starts insulting God. He starts ridiculing Hezekiah and the people for serving such a God. And I can just hear it up in heaven. The Lord says, you know what? I had enough of this. And he sent one angel. You know, he doesn't need chariots and armies and one angel. And the Assyrian army woke up dead. You ever wake up dead? Well, they did. All a result of one angel. If God is for you, who can be against you? Who can possibly stand against that? So, who can be against us? No, in all these things, I'm listening. Yeah, you're getting it. Question number two. Oh, I got to get back to Romans. Who will bring any charge against those that God has chosen? Who's going to bring a charge against you? It is God that justifies. If God says you're right, you're right. The world can say what it wants to say. Your neighbor can say what he wants to say. The family can say what they want to say. And whatever they're condemning things that they might bring against you, it is of no value. It has no worth. It has no standing. Because if your God justifies you, you are justified. There's a period, exclamation mark, end of subject. Non-negotiable. There it is. And then he goes on to say, who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God. You know, anyone that has the right to judge us, anyone that would have the right to condemn us would be Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. What he says here is, instead of him being your judge to condemn you, he's in the right hand of God to intercede for you. He's not there stating the case against you. He's there stating the case for you. He's there as your friend, as your brother, as your counsel. He's not the prosecuting attorney. He is your defense attorney. So God justifies you. The Son of God then represents you and intercedes for you. Who then can bring any charge? No, in all these things, you're doing better. Here's the last one. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? The list could be much, much longer. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter. And that's from Psalm 44. Know in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all the creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Period. You know, when he says things like angels, they had such a, the Jews had such a developed belief in the angels. And in fact, they felt that the angels were hostile. And that everything had an angel. The wind has an angel. The waves of the sea has an angel. The clouds have an angel. Every blade of grass has an angel. He said, there's no angel that's going to separate you from the love of God. When he says height and depth, he's talking about the stars. This is astrological terms, meaning that when the star was at its height, they felt that the star was at its greatest influence. If that was a star you were born under, then that star then had great influence in your life. And when that star was at its lowest depth, then it had the least amount of influence, and it was waiting to rise where it would have influence again. He said, I don't care anything about stars. It has nothing to do with it whatsoever. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So, in all these things we say. Now I got to close, but let me ask you this question. You've been keep saying this over and over again. We are more than conquerors. What in the world does that mean? How can you be more than a conqueror? I mean, you climb the mountain, you get to the top. You conquered the mountain, right? So how are you more than a conqueror? You defeat the enemy. Down goes your Goliath. You're a conqueror. How can you be more than a conqueror? I had a preacher ask me that once. I thought, I got to think about that. That didn't come up in my question can downstairs. People ask me questions down there, but that one hasn't come up. But I ask you, you've been saying we're more than a conqueror. What does that mean? Well, let me just give you this as a food of thought. Everything that we've read here, of all the packaged blessings of God, all the way from the no condemnation, right on down through the goodness of God to the power of God, all of that is on our behalf, saying, if God be for us, who can be against us? And then we found that in verse 28 we had read, and we know that all things God works for good for those who love him. How many of us quote that? Well, let me just interject this then. Everything that comes your way, the trials, the tribulations, the hardships, whatever they might be, God is interweaving them and turning them around. And instead of being against you, they're making you stronger. It's kind of like I watch Star Trek. And the old Klingons or somebody shoots a missile, and then they'll say, well, our shields are down 10%. Our shields are down 50%. We're almost, we got to do something. What would it be like if every time they shot, they said, our shields got stronger. They're up to 110%. Oh, here comes another one. Our shields went up to 150%. You see, if you let God really have control, then all the things that seemingly work against you are turned around. And they work for you. And God weaves them into a character and a strength and a fiber and a faithfulness, so that many of those Christians of early year were martyred. But martyring wasn't a tribulation to them. They turned it into a blessing. They were more than conquerors. Because everything the enemy did only made them better. How about you and me? You know, God calls you. He calls you to give your life to him. To surrender your life. Open up your heart. I don't know where you're at. God knows all about you. There's no secrets. You might as well just lay it out there for him. have a little conversation. If there's something we can help you with, we're here to help you. All you have to do is make it known. Maybe you need to become a Christian, surrender your life. Maybe you need prayer or counsel. In any way we can bless you, we want to bless you. God wants to bless you. And if God is for you, nothing is against you. And in Christ Jesus, you're not just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, to challenge us. Challenge us with your goodness. Challenge us with your faithfulness. Knowing, Lord, that even when we aren't faithful, you are. Even when we fail, you keep on going. And you lift us up. And you brush us off. And you love us. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that in a special way needs your involvement, your love, your grace, your compassion, your forgiveness, that they'll be open for that. May all things be done to your glory and honor, Lord. And we as a people say we are so blessed that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.